Today, on You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein, I am reviewing the new explosive drama, Oppenheimer.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech that is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, yeah, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me don't make a difference. Love them. You're all watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein in the theaters, you find this. Yeah. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech it is timeless. Love it like it or we lose it, can't find it. Yeah. And we ain't keen on being reminded. But the film, if it didn't hit, no, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Yeah. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas.
Everybody, and welcome to You're Watching a Movie with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. Welcome. Today, I am talking about the new film, Oppenheimer. Oppenheimer is a rated R biographical drama that runs 3 hours long, written and directed by Christopher Nolan. It stars Cillian Murphy, Emily Blunt, Matt Damon, Robert Downey Jr., Florence Pugh, Josh Hartnett, Casey Affleck, Rami Malek, and Kenneth Branagh. Star-studded cast, if I don't say so myself. Big cast full of big actors who do big things. Sometimes little things, sometimes subtle things, but they're there. They're all over the place, representing a lot of physicists, a lot of scientists, a lot of people. There's so many people in this. There's a lot to keep track of, but it's a 3-hour film, so you have a little bit of time. This is the story of American scientist J. Robert Oppenheimer and his role in the development of the atomic bomb. The best things about this film: the score. I truly believe that this film lives and dies by the score. Nolan uses the film's musical score with extreme precision, constantly ramping up the tension in the scenes to the extremes and making the silence in other scenes seem exceptionally dramatic. He uses music really well in this film and in others. I'm going to go even further to say many of the scenes would be boring without the score. This is sorcerer-level magic, tricking the audience into believing they were actually watching an interesting dialogue scene when really it was just a bunch of high-level science talk with mediocre dialogue that doesn't move the story along very well. But he played dramatic music during it, and so we think it's more important, and like, oh, and he plays with your emotions during it. And that's what you do. That's what he does. That's a thing that Christopher Nolan does. And he uses music. Might be one of the best uses of music in a film this year so far. Number two, the pacing. The film has a rapid fire pace, which is necessary to get through a 3-hour film, a 3-hour science film. It needs to be fast paced because there aren't enough interesting things happening to stay with the film. Yes, there's things about Oppenheimer's life that are interesting. They are. They're not as interesting, I think, as this film makes them seem or tries to get across. I don't know. But regardless, the pacing on it is pretty good. And I will say what's impressive is I did not feel lost in it, despite the science being way over my head. He does get this across to someone like me, I guess, who to understand the basic levels of what he's talking about, or feel like I got a gist of it, at least, or if he went fast enough and moved on to the next thing that I wasn't wondering long enough to start to feel dumb. So he does well with the pacing. The acting. This is an exceptional cast with some exceptional actors doing some of the best work of their careers. Some are small roles, but they still dive into it and do it well. Robert Downey Jr. thinks it's one of the best performances he's had. He could just be saying that to promote the film. I don't know, but I think he does a darn good job. And I think it's a nice role for him after seeing him in Iron Man for so many times recently. I think it's a good role for him. I think it's a good role for Matt Damon. I think they do. Emily Blunt is, she's phenomenal. She's a different person every time I see her. I'm like, always have to remind myself. And Florence Pugh. Great jobs. Great jobs. Hands down. I could see a nomination for one of those two, Emily Blunt or Florence Pugh, coming out of this. Maybe a Robert Downey Jr. It's a possible supporting actor role. Possibly. And then directing. I think what works about this film is Christopher Nolan directing this film. He's a master filmmaker and extremely well made. And I don't know, probably win some awards for this. Probably. No, I don't know that anyone else could have made this film as interesting as it was, as Christopher Nolan did. For better, for worse, whatever you feel about that style that he does, the Nolan style, he made this one work. And I don't know that Michael Bay would have. The worst things about this film, what I'm going to title this as this section is, it's almost there. This film gave me the feeling like it was always almost there, whether that was in making a point, making sense, making it exciting, or making me care. They were almost there. 3 hours filled with the Oppenheimer character, and I didn't care much about him. Basically, because I never really understood his motivations or his cares, I didn't know why he was motivated to do the things he did, to risk the things he risked, to lie about the things he lied about, or to love the way that he loved. They would circle the rim of discussing motivations, but they wouldn't dive in. And yeah, I know he helped build the bombs so the Germans, so he beat the Germans so that they wouldn't, because the hands of them would have been awful at the time. The Nazis, being the Nazis, I should say, not the Germans. Number two, it's a long film. I think it's longer than it needs to be. We got to a point in the film that, oh, that could be the climax, it could be the end, and then I realized, no, we're not. Oh, there's still that story. This is a story wrapped in a story. Oh yeah, we're still doing that other part. I kind of forgot about this at this point, so I don't know, maybe you should have cut something, because I kind of forgot a whole point of this, because you wrapped up everything else. You're involved in this other section of the story. So maybe it's a little too long. 3 hours is a lot. And I admit, I'm biased. I saw this film in extreme heat. The air conditioning wasn't working. I saw it in 70 millimeter. It was hot in the film. But I will say, to its credit, it kept me engaged despite being so hot and miserable during the film. But I still think my opinion of the film is my opinion of the film. And number three, I put too many stories. I think it lacks focus. It goes all over the place in the name of art, not in the name of better storytelling. Storytelling is an art, but I think Christopher Nolan has a style that he tries to push, and he does that instead of storytelling, just telling a story, telling the story. He pushes his style over the story, and story, I think, should always be first. Let me say this. I have no doubt that most critics will love the film. It's a good technical film. Technically, filmmaking, it is great. I feel like I've seen all these tricks from Nolan before, and it has gotten a little bit old. Hard, fast music, some good actors, lots of non-linear edits, special effects, slow down the camera speed, just lots of tricks. Tricks that hide a fundamental mediocre story. Sure, there's lots of interesting things about Oppenheimer, but I never discovered the core of him in this film. I don't know why he ticks. I don't understand his motivations. He's not particularly likable. Not that he has to be, but at least I want to know why he's doing the things that I have problems with. as an actor, of course, I'd love to be in one of Nolan's films. He does great performances. He does, he pulls a lot out of actors or gives them the space to grow and experiment. I'm not sure which. But my desire to work from him is more of like this self-indulgent space of my heart. He has some meaty roles and makes people look good on camera. Like, that's why I want to be there, not because I think his films are necessarily the best films. They're good, but not the best. The lesson. I think the lesson I got away from this film is extraordinary minds don't mean they are extraordinary people. Is it rewatchable? Yes, maybe. I think more of it in an academic way than what a great fun film to watch kind of way. I think if you haven't seen a Christopher Nolan film before, it's not a bad one. Just go ahead, pop in, check it out. I think it's a film you could show to filmmakers and go to see the different ways you can make film, how it doesn't have to be linear, to see what creative artistic things you can do in a film. So I just feel that's more academic than just a pure pleasure of watching kind of film. My final word on this film: loud and long. Sometimes these are good things, and sometimes it's a Christopher Nolan film that is trying very hard to prove itself to be good, to be a good, meaningful film. Nolan is an exceptional filmmaker, and I probably would have liked this film a lot more if it was the first film of his that I'd seen, but it's kind of same tricks, different film. It's not a bad film. With fast pacing and a score that pushes you along like an ocean wave, it flies by at 3 hours. The acting is fantastic and an outstanding ensemble. Story? I don't think there's a lot there. There's a lot of cinematic trickery to get you to believe you just watched more than you did. I didn't feel like I got to really understand Oppenheimer, which I think is the point of a biopic. All that being said, I can't deny it is a well-made film and that many people will enjoy it. But I'm sure they'll also enjoy anything else that he makes. They like the style, not the substance. In my 3L system of love it, like it, or lose it, love it is that film you yelled to people right after you saw it. You got to see this film. Like it is, you liked it. Not a bad thing for yourself. Okay. You enjoyed it, but you don't have to see it. And love it, lose it, that's I watched that film so you don't have to. Okay. In my 3L system, I give Oppenheimer a like it. And that's it. That's my review, folks. That is my review of Oppenheimer. Thank you so much for tuning in. What did you think? Do you agree or do you disagree? Please leave a comment and let me know what you thought of the film. Did I miss the mark? Is this a love it or is it lower? I don't know. You tell me. What did you think? Let me know in the comments. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for watching this video, liking this podcast. Thank you for marking as your favorite. Thank you for sharing it with other people. Hint, hint. Anyway, thank you for watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein.
You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein. In the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech, it is timeless. Love it, like it, or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded about the film if it isn't tough. We spend a lot of time at the cinema. It's just me and my friends, we watch plenty stuff. For movies, yeah, I've been above. Whether big or they small, no, for me, don't make a difference, love. You're watching a movie with Silas Lindenstein. In the theaters, you find this. So go on and press play and rewind this. This speech, it is timeless. Love it, like it, or we lose it, can't find it. And we ain't keen on being reminded. But the film, if it didn't hit, no, gotta lose it. Watch movies with my friends, bringing joy, that's the blueprint. So come on and let's do this. Leave pain behind us and relax your mind. Come watch a movie with Silas. Yeah.